Amos chapter 9. Now, let me get serious for a minute, okay? I like to play around, but let's get serious. All right, Amos chapter 9. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about everybody has been broken. If you haven't been broken, you will be broken. If you're over 10 or 12 years old, you have been broken probably. But it's not always bad to be broken.
Amen.
And God uses brokenness.
That's right.
Matter of fact, He can't use you till He does break you. Because see, you're made wrong. Now, the human body wasn't made wrong. It is what God made it to be, but our Adamic nature was made wrong. So I want to talk to you about the purpose of God's brokenness and the reason God allows it in our lives. And Amos chapter 9 verse 11 says, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen." Or you could put broken there. It's fallen in. "And close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this." Father, help me tonight as I preach. Move in amongst us. Speak to us, Lord. We like little Samuel. We come looking for you to speak, Lord. We've heard you before and we want to hear you again. And faith comes by hearing. So increase our faith tonight. Let's leave out better than what we came in. And if one might be lost, I pray you'd save them. Lord, I know I saw 5 or 6 lost ones walk out today. And I pray, God, they're not here tonight. I pray you'd move on them wherever they're at. And then help us. These people come for help, Lord. They didn't come in here to be entertained. They came to be enlightened. So help us in Jesus' name. 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14, if you will. God allows brokenness. One of the reasons is 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14. Most of you have read this. You know it. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." By the way, that ruins all that Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin preaching right there. Humble yourself. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land or fix that brokenness. Now, you know why God allows brokenness in the believers? Now, he's talking to believers there. Because he wants us to find him.
Yes.
Now, I know he's there, but sometimes he wants you to search for him and find him. And that's why he said, seek his face. Seek his face. Now, I know God's ever-present help in time of trouble. I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But I don't always feel his presence. I don't always see his presence. So sometimes God will allow brokenness in us in order to get us to seek his face.
Yes, sir.
To seek his face. You know, most Christians hardly pray at all.
Come on now.
Yeah. Except when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
When they get a little bit broken. Or most of them, if they get a little chipped, then they'll start seeking God's face. Now, that's why God allows brokenness. You know, just as well as I do, some people's children will never talk to them unless they're in need. They'll never seek their parents. They'll never seek them unless they need something. So God is the same way with his children. He allows his children to get broken so that we'll turn and seek his face. Amen. There's been many times in my Christian life since I've been saved and since I've been preaching, been many times when God felt distant. God felt distant. And I went through some things and some trials and tribulation and got broken and seriously sought his face. I mean, there'd been times I've been out in the woods screaming and hollering and crying, and you think there was a madman out there saying, "Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Abraham and Isaac? Where is the God of Noah? Where is the God of Moses?" And just weeping and crying out loud, walking around the woods and seeking his face. Now, we won't hardly do that unless there's trouble. Now, I pray every day. I pray. I pray at home with my wife. Then during the day, I come down here and I lay things on the altar and I pray over things right here. I pray walking up and down these halls. I pray driving up and down the street. But I'll tell you, when I get broken, I seriously pray. I mean, I seek his face. I told him the other day, I said, God, I'm not letting go of this altar till I feel your presence. And guess what? I felt his touch. Amen. I felt his touch. Now, I hate it that we have to be broken before we'll seek his face.
Amen. Yeah.
And Lord forbid it comes to a hospital room or a cemetery. Amen. Don't ever let it go that far. Amen. Seek his face. And God lets us be broken. He allowed Israel to be invaded. He allowed the temple to be destroyed. He allowed those people to destroy the family of Israel so that the whole nation would turn back to him and seek his face. People say, what's wrong with America? I said, there's nothing wrong with America that an old-fashioned revival wouldn't fix because we seek his face again.
Amen.
You remember 9-11? 9-11, you couldn't get in a church during 9-11. For 2 weeks after, you couldn't even get in a church parking lot. Every church in town was packed with people because they thought we was going to have a world war or something. Now, it's sad that God has to break us in order for us to seek his face. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, and most of you know this one, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
Amen. It wouldn't matter if you was. Amen. Amen. I learned a long time ago. Don't pay no attention to people getting mad at you. They ain't mad at me. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Right.
Wait a minute, he didn't stop there. And scourgeth. That's a bad whipping, a scourgeth. That's what they did to Jesus with a cat of nine tails. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, if ye endure chastening. Now wait a minute. Brother Billy, that sounds like some don't. Don't it?
Some don't.
If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. So that, does that mean if you don't endure chastening, he's not dealing with you as a son because you're not one of his? God chastens the wicked too. God chastens wicked nations, but they're not his. And then he says, and he dealeth with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Did you know God allows us to be broken so that we will fear him?
Amen.
Now that's a fool that doesn't fear God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
And we got two generations grown up that don't fear God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. It's our fault.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah. I mean, I was born 54. I grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And that generation, the 50s, the 60s and 70s, didn't put the fear of God in us like they should have. You'd think the generation that came out of World War II would fear God and put it in their children, but they didn't. They came back materialistic. And then they raised us materialistic.
Come on now. Yeah.
And we thought success was to have stuff. Not the blessings of God. We didn't know nothing about that. We had to wait. I had to wait till the 70s to hear the gospel the first time in a so-called Christian nation. Churches all around me. But you know when I turned to him? When I learned to fear him.
Amen.
When I learned to fear him, that's when I sought him. Now sometimes, the only way that God can get us broken and remade is to cause us something that will make us fear him so bad,
amen,
we'll seek his face.
Amen.
I don't know, some of you Christians, I don't know, I'm mad you have, if you've ever went through anything that scared you since you've been saved. I know you have. I know Sister Shirley's going through something right now. I know some of the others are. But there's been times in our Christian life where God allowed,
yes,
he allowed us to be chastened, to be whipped, so that we would fear him. Look, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about church. I mean, we might have went 5 times before I was saved at 21. Well, I went 3 at Eastside, and then I may have been 8 times before I was saved. And I wasn't taught to fear God. Mama went to church, but she didn't take us. It was too much trouble. We'd fuss. So she just let us go. By the way, if that had been my boy, I'd drug him by the hair if I had to. His hiney would have been sitting in that seat at church. Amen. My kids growing up, you ask them, there wasn't but 2 excuses to be out of church. You had to be throwing up blood or dead. That's right. They went. And you know why? I wanted them to learn to fear God.
Amen.
It's a sad day we're in when people don't fear God who even claim to be Christians.
Right.
And God has to break us to make us fear Him. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. I said He allows us to be broken, so we'll find Him. We'll seek Him and find Him. And also, so we'll fear Him.
Right.
You ever heard anybody say this? I don't need God.
Yeah.
I'm a self-made man. I got this. Let God put Him on His back a while. You'll find out more. You'll find out what He's really made out of. Amen. 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 Psalm 34, 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart.
Yes.
And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Yes,
many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Did you know He allows us to be broken? The afflictions, infirmities, tragedies, heartbreak, heartache. He allows every bit of that so that we can feel Him.
Praise
the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Y'all, some of y'all young people, you don't know yet, but there's going to be times in your life.
Yes, Lord.
But boy, you're going to get broken.
Yes.
And you're going to be wishing God would show up. And He will eventually. He'll show up and you'll feel it.
Yep.
Now, we don't go by feelings. We go by faith. We know we're saved because the Bible says so, not because we feel so, because I don't always feel so. But I know so.
Yes.
It's not feelings I was saved, but feelings sure do help it when you've been broken. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You get up there in the hospital beside somebody you love and you get them crying and you begging God to heal them or do something with them. You sit out there in that opera room, the waiting room at the operating room there, while your husband or your wife's in there being operated on, and you'll beg for the presence of God. You'll want Him to give you some feelings. I see people sitting in there all the time. I go in there and they're sitting in there and they look like, oh well. Be glad when this is over. Oh well, I don't know why I'm doing here. They're sitting there watching their watch, you know, and talking on the phone. They never considered that God might have put them in there so they could feel His presence. Church ain't about feelings. But feelings sure are good when you've been broken and you go to church. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. Let me tell you something. When God shows up in your life, it's usually because you've been broken.
Yes.
You've been sick, you've had an infirmity, you've been hurt, you've been attacked, and then you start seeking God because now you fear Him, because you wonder, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing with this situation? And you start to fear God. What's God doing? And then all of a sudden, God will show up and you'll feel His power and His presence and His love. And boy, you'll start weeping and crying and praising God. I'm telling you. Listen, He breaks us so that we'll feel Him.
Amen.
See, this thing right here needs feelings. These feelings.
Yes.
You know, every once in a while, you ladies, I'll do it to Ed because Ed will let me do it.
Yeah.
The old man needs some feelings every once in a while.
Amen.
He needs you to look up here and say, Ed, I love you. You're the handsomest man I've ever known.
Amen.
I felt that. Did y'all feel that? Every once in a while, we need feelings. Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm an independent, fundamental, King James, temperamental Baptist. Amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God and the salvation. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of separated living. I'm not ashamed of the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I am not ashamed. But, hey, if you don't look out, that'll make you hard sometimes. Every once in a while, the Lord will let you get broken so you can have the feelings back. I remember when I first got saved and the feelings just washed over me and I wept and I cried and I wept and I cried all day. I wept and I cried after I got saved. I went home crying. And every time I'd try to tell somebody about it, I couldn't do nothing but break out crying. And I'd go to church and they'd start singing Amazing Grace and I'd sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That'd be about far as I got without starting just bawling like a little old baby. And they'd sing, everything's alright in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's alright in my Father's house where there's love. And man, I just break down crying. Amen. Amen. Anything. And the preacher, he'd get up and he'd just read his text. And by the time he got through reading his text, I was probably crying by then. Amen. It felt good. I needed that. I needed that assurance of the love of God. I needed the assurance of the presence of God. I needed the assurance of the power of God on my life. And hey, I'll be honest with you. I went to church because I was selfish. I like the feelings. I like the feelings. And every once in a while, I'd visit some old dead, dry bones church, you know, where they didn't have any feelings. They should have been buried 20 years ago. They died that long ago. And I'd sit there, and boy, the old preacher, he'd get saying something, but I knew if I said amen, he'd lose his place. They'd probably escort me out. Amen. Probably escort me out. Amen. Reminds me of that little old story, that little old woman, you know, old woman was at church one day, went and visited this church, and said they got to singing, the little old lady went, amen, praise the Lord, and said it disrupted the church. And then after a while they sang another song, she said, amen, praise the Lord, you know, and it disrupted the church. And then the preacher got up, and he read his sermon. And as he was reading his sermon, the woman got excited and said, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And said, he stopped and he said, ma'am, you're going to have to quit that. She said, I can't, I got to praise the Lord. And he told ushers, said, get her out of here. And two ushers come down there and one of them on each side and they picked her up off her feet, was carrying out the door. And she was saying, amen, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And he said, wait a minute, fellas, lady, what are you shouting about? They're carrying you out of here. She said, amen, Jesus had one donkey to ride on, I got two carrying me. Amen! Praise God! We need feelings. We get hard. You ever get hard? And God has to break us. And then when we get broken, we get those feelings back. We have compassion on others. Because we realize, except by the grace of God, there go I. Yeah. We need feelings, y'all. I like this church because it's got feelings. People come in here and they love it because it's got feelings. And then I have to get up and preach and ruin it. I go see them and they'll say, man, that's the friendliest church I've ever been in. And people just hug your neck and they shake your hands and they smile and they're so glad to see you. And they never do say nothing about the preacher. But I need those feelings.
Yeah.
And then once you fear him, you'll get the feelings.
Amen.
And then joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
After the weeping, joy comes. And you get the joy of the Lord because you wept a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, man. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The purpose for God breaking us. Some of you young people, you have no idea, but I'm going to tell you something. A few years from now, you're going to get broken. And you're going to say, oh, I remember what that preacher preached about being broken. I need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Boy, ain't that what we worry about?
Yeah.
Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? That's the question. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did you know our brokenness forces us to focus on him?
Right.
He may break you by taking all those things. I preached it this morning. He may take those things that you hold dearest that you think you got to have to live by. And you might find out that you're better off without those things. Because it'll make you focus on him instead of the it, you'll focus on him. Amen? The greatest victory a Christian ever will have is this. Don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about it. Follow him. He'll supply the stuff you need. You young people, look up here. And I don't know if the generation that's living today does this, but don't worry about 20 years from now what you're going to have.
Yeah.
Live today.
That's right.
The evil of today is sufficient thereof.
Yeah.
Now you go ahead and build up a bunch of stuff, and he may have to break you to get you to focus on him again. I've known people to come down the aisle and get gloriously saved and get baptized, come out of the baptismal pool shouting and praising God, join the church, come to every service, get involved in everything, and be happy. I mean, just happy, happy, happy. And then they get a big paying job and they get focused on money and stuff, and before you know it, they start missing church here and missing church there, and it won't be long they get out of church altogether because their focus is now on stuff and not the Savior. And it won't be long though, a year or two, God will break them and take their job and take their stuff, and they'll come back to church and run down the aisle and they'll say, Pastor, I've been a fool.
Yes. Amen.
And God had to break me to get me to look back at him again. You know, God can take your stuff in one day.
Yes.
Look at Job. Look at Job. Took everything. The rich man took everything he owned. Just, whoop, gone. Family, gone. Nothing there but a nagging wife. That's all he had left. He had to tell her one day, she said, why don't you just cuss God and die?
Yeah.
Fellas, wouldn't that be your bride? Would you like for a bride like that to be at your house? No, sir. I mean, the man done lost his family, lost his gold, lost his cattle, lost his land, lost everything. That woman said, why don't you just cuss God and die? And he sounded like a real Baptist man. He looked at her and he said, you sound like a foolish woman. Amen? Amen. I ain't cussing God. Amen. I'm not cussing God. I'm not a fool. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what I will do though. I'll focus on him.
Amen.
And so did Job. Yep. It took him 41 chapters, but he got right with God.
Yes.
You know why? It says, go back and read it. He confessed his sinful pride.
That's right.
That's what he confessed. And when he turned and he confessed his sinful pride, God forgave him and he felt the power and the presence and the love of God again. And God restored him twice as much as he lost. And every once in a while, we have to seek the kingdom of God first. Get focused on him. What's important? What's important? This morning, some people found it more important to go Christmas shopping than they did go to church. And Walmart never died for their sins. Matter of fact, he don't fill their belly. Walmart don't fill their bank account. God does that.
Yeah. Amen.
And a lot of people this season will take God's tithe and they'll spend it on junk. They'll spend it on junk. That'll be tore up within a year. Just junk. Don't get quiet, y'all. The good crowd. Think what the bad, how the bad crowd feel if they heard this. Listen, God can take every bit of that in one sweep.
Yes.
Amen.
And I warn people all the time. I say, look, you better be careful. You better be careful. Because see, you're letting these things take you out of the will of God. They're taking you out of church. You're working too much. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying like you ought to. You don't have your children in church. You don't have your family in church because you done got focused on something else. And God can take that in one event. One tornado wipe everything.
Yes.
I tell you, one disease can wipe it all out. I sold health insurance, life insurance, and I'll tell you right quick, if you don't have health insurance and you own property and you got a little money in the bank, one disease will destroy your bank account and your property and everything else. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Hey, we better focus on Him. We need to quit trying to please ourselves. Start pleasing Him. Or He'll break us.
Amen.
He'll break us.
Now,
I've got three wonderful children, but I'll tell you right quick, if they're going to live out of the will of God, they ain't getting my money. They're not getting my blessings. I tell them, I say, if you're starving, you know, if you're naked, come see me. I'll get you some food and some clothes to wear. But you ain't living at my house living out of the will of God. Tornado ain't coming through here and getting my stuff, my wife's stuff, because you're out of the will of God. Listen, you get right with God, I'll do anything in the world I can for you. Until that went over real good.
That's good.
I've told my friends before, Christian friends, I said, as long as you're living like you are, don't come around me. Don't you come around me. I don't want to be there when the lightning strikes. I don't want to be in the car with you when God lowers the boom on you and breaks you. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be an innocent bystander when He comes to discipline you. I don't want to be in the car with you. I don't want to be in the house with you. Amen? Amen. Now, when you get right with God, I'd love to see you. But until then, you stay right over there, and I'll pray for you till you get right with God because He's going to break you.
Yes.
Well, I watched Joel Osteen, and he encourages me. He's lying to you to get your money. He's lying to you to get your money. That's all he's doing. He'll tell you those smooth things. And then he'll have a rap, ungodly rap singer come on there and make a profession of faith. And he sings the same music, runs with the same crowds, and claiming thousands of people getting saved. And they just drawing in the money, drawing in the money. He never would warn you about. He never would warn you about chastisement. Is there anybody here that's saved that's never been chastised? No. It says He chasteneth every son whom He received. He said, your Father chastened you because He loved you. Don't you think your Heavenly Father will do so much the more so? 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm almost done. The peanut butter and banana sandwich is waiting on me. 1 Peter. God's been good to me. I got a new jar of peanut butter. And I got two brand new bananas at the house. And I can either put peanut butter or mayonnaise on them. I am a rich man. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, Jerry, we'd be at home. Mama would be at work. We'd go in the kitchen. There'd be a lonely box of saltine crackers. A jar of mustard or a jar of mayonnaise. That's what you made your crackers out of. Amen. That was snacks. And we thought they were good. We didn't know any better. Amen. Amen. God's been good to me. Yeah, amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Jerry got so fat eating peanut butter, he literally, he had to quit eating peanut butter because he was eating it with a spoon. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hang on there, son. You ain't old enough yet, but you keep doing that, you're going to be. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Brokenness fixes it.
Yes, it does.
Brokenness fixes it. We don't understand sometimes why people do like they do, and they say they're saved, and they wander off. But I got news for you. If they're a child of God, He'll fix them. He'll fix them. And He'll establish them. I'm a pastor. People come, people go. That bothers me. It bothers me. Because I'm a pastor. A lot of times y'all don't even notice it. But it bothers me when people... First thing I think, they're mad at me. And they usually are. The next thing I think, they're mad at you. And they may be. But the real reason is, they're in the flesh. And God is going to have to help them. We can't help them. Now I send them cards, I call them, I go see them. Some of them come back, some of them won't. But I can't fix that. God will have to fix that.
Amen.
He gets the glory when He does it.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I fixed them. No, you didn't fix nobody. God didn't do it. It ain't going
to
last. Well, I gave them a piece of my mind. You need to hold on to that. You might not have enough to share. Well, I straighten them out. We ain't going to be straightened out until they're left straight out in the box. God gets the glory. He wants to make us better by using the things that would normally or naturally make us bitter if we didn't know Him. That's profound. The Lord gave that to me this afternoon. I'm going to read it again. Some of y'all didn't get it.
Yes.
He wants to make us better by using the things that usually would make us bitter if we didn't know Him. Now you find a lost woman or man that's been broken, they're usually bitter.
Amen.
I tried to win a man to the Lord several years. I'd go, his wife came to church, he never would. And I went to see him, and he used to work at the power plant out here. And he was older than me, but he used to work out there, and he got fired. And I don't know. He blamed it on them. It was their fault he lost that good job. It was their fault he lost those great benefits. It was their fault they lost that great bank account and that great insurance and all these things. It just went on and on and on and on and on and on. And finally, I had to interrupt him. I said, well, listen, I used to work at Duke Power. I know how it is. It's like being in the military and the squeaky wheel gets the grease and all that stuff, you know. I said, but, you know, I'm not really concerned about jobs and stuff like that because I know God's going to take care of me. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I said, you don't know what He did for me.
Amen. 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 Come on.
And I said, maybe He just did that to you to get you to look up.
Amen.
No, He wouldn't hear it. And so I said, what you need is you need to be saved. He said, now, preacher, if you start talking like that, I'm going to ask you to leave. I said, well, that's the only reason I came. I said, so if you don't want to talk about that, we have nothing to talk about.
Right.
Yeah, but do you know what they did to me? I said, that ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
I said, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And God might have used that to drive you toward Him. Preacher, you can leave. I said, all right, let me pray for you. He said, no, don't pray in my house. I said, okay. I said, but I tell you what, when I get out there on the front steps, I'm going to stop and say a prayer for you. No, you're not. And he escorted me out of the house and wouldn't let me stop at the steps. And what had made him bitter, if he'd have been a child of God, close to God, God could have turned that around and made it better. Now you want to know if somebody's saved, you look and see how they've been broken and what they did about it.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Man.
Amen.
That's it.
I'm going to read you this poem. I'll quit. I refuse to be discouraged, to be sad or cry. I refuse to be downhearted, and here's the reason why. I have a God who is almighty, who is sovereign and supreme. I have a God who loves me, and I am on his team. He is all wise and powerful. Jesus is his name. Though everything else is changeable, my God remains the same. I refuse to be defeated. My eyes are on my God. He has promised to be with me as through this life I trod. I'm looking past my circumstances to heaven's throne above. My prayers have reached the heart of God. I'm resting in his love. Give thanks to him for everything. My eyes are on his face. The battle is his. The victory is mine. He will help me win the race. I repeat, I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant word.